The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Thanks for hanging with Chuck and Chernoff on a Friday. We're with you till 6 tonight, and we'll turn things over to Braves Radio Network coverage of the Bravos and the Red Sox from... No, that's not going to happen tonight. Right there in Fort Myers. Tonight
in North Point.
Tonight on the Fan and the Fan mobile app. We were looking at some more of the at-bats that I told you I don't want to lose the drama. Hoyt looked at the Soler at-bat in the World Series a couple of years ago, 6 minutes and 10 seconds. And it was... excruciating, but also like the most brilliant payoff.
It's postseason stuff, man. That's what it is.
In the postseason, I don't want to lose that drama, and that's what I'm saying. I would hate that. Chuck, the 4 o'clock hour of the program is presented by Entry Point Doors and Windows, Atlanta's local expert for a reason. For entry doors and windows, go to entrypointatlanta.com for a free estimate. Charles is on CFT Dute.
Am I? Is it duty?
You have a duty, and you've got it in 5 minutes. What can we look forward to?
A briefly unemployed coach has a legit question for anybody who'll listen.
What is it?
Do you want to know now?
Nope. You're supposed to say, I'll tell you.
I'll tell you.
After the break.
In 2 and 2.
No, well, Seacrest did. He perfected the find out after
the
break.
Yeah, that's not me, really.
All right, we'll get that coming up in 5 minutes. So who is the local franchise that has to make it right with one of their own?
That would be the Atlanta Falcons, and it's not a statue thing. It is nothing on the Boulevard of Statues.
Why don't we build Matt Ryan statues all over town?
Statue time.
The first athlete to have multiple statues.
No,
go see Matt in Roswell. Matt's got a statue in Buford. Matt's got a statue in Decatur.
No, it's not on the Boulevard of Statues. This is the Falcons. How about they just go ahead and do this now? Mm-hmm. Retire Matt Ryan's number 2 right now. Not wait, not see if Miami or Houston or whomever calls. He may actually play for somebody again after the season starts. There could be a Jay Cutler thing or maybe in August, whatever. But screw it. Fine. He can play for the Chargers. He can go in case Justin Herbert gets hurt. But so what? Nobody's going to wear number 2, and you can at least go ahead and remove the possibility that you go through what you've done with 56, and it wasn't, I know, but there was just some disrespect there. Do it and accelerate this, Matt. The long makeup between former star and franchise, it does not have to take decades that sometimes the people involved choose to make it. Dion, there was some spatting back and forth, and it took until that Thursday night. Remember the Ravens were in, and then this was like 2012 maybe or 11. And then finally I was like, why the hell did it take 15 years to, you know, get with Dion? It can't be Brett Favre and the Packers, and Matt Ryan's way too classy to ever allow anything like that. Go ahead and just derail that whole thing. Whether he's active or not, give him the ultimate honor. Retire number 2, because you're going to do it. We know that.
So you just want the announcement.
I want the announcement. Okay. We're going to retire as number 2. That's done. We'll work it out with Matt, but this is just a formality because he is the most impactful player in the history of the franchise.
Can I up the bar? Why don't they make the press release where they announce they're retiring 2 and 11? Do it together, Matt and Julio together.
Fantastic.
Have a day.
Fantastic.
Have
absolutely.
A big day.
They can even sign Matt to a 1-day contract if they want to do something for him.
I think that the salary cap thing.
Oh, they can. Yeah, they would actually bring that bonus onto their own. Yeah.
One of the dumbest things ever. But no, do them both. I have no problem. Listen, things that sometimes end rocky, and I give Matt credit. He used the perfect description. He's like, I'm not going to let the last 4 days ruin the last 14 years, what happened with Deshaun. And essentially, they went and dated another woman while they were married to Matt. So he handled it perfectly because behind the scenes he was steaming. It's like, you guys are embarrassing me. At least cheat behind my back. Don't cheat out in the open, but the Falcons were doing that.
Don't disrespect me.
Right. So good for him for taking the high road, and you're right. It'll happen at some point. You know, might not make the announcement. They will. I'm always confused about the Ring of Honor and retired jerseys because there's...
Well, in football, an actual retired number that nobody wears anymore, that's a tricky thing.
It really is, but why? Who said that had to be that way?
because you have so few of them for certain positions.
That's changed now, though.
Some, it has.
And you're right. It can't be the Celtics where they've got 50 jerseys hung up in the rafters. But
like, nobody's wearing 33 for the Boston Celtics, and that can happen. But football actually retiring numbers that nobody puts on, it's a short list of stuff, man.
Didn't we get to the point where we figured out nobody's wearing certain Falcons? Like, nobody's wearing 60.
No.
Right? Nobody's wearing... Not everybody wore 21. Everybody did that one.
They're not going to hand out two.
They shouldn't. But it's weird the way they've handed out numbers in the past.
It is.
They've given out, like, Barkowski's number is won by Scott Campbell. For those who weren't from here, Bart left in,
so fantastic.
Bart left in, 85, 86.
And went to the Rams and the Redskins.
Scott Campbell was a backup quarterback. I think was wearing 10, three years later. Isn't that weird? Don't you have any?
No, they didn't.
Well, I wasn't going to. What were you think I was going to say?
Don't you have any respect? Don't you have any common sense? Don't you have any understanding? Yes. Because the same people own the team the whole time.
Right. I would have thought it would have been easy to go, nah, Scotty, wear 9. Yeah, but I want to wear 10. I know, but Barkowski just wore that. It's not like the Falcons were bathing in great players.
No, pick any other number, 1 to 19.
But there's 10. I think it was. There might have been somebody else who wore it too along the way, which is weird. But I'm with you. I have no problem with that. And then they'll do it at halftime of some game somewhere.
You can't be better than David Pollock in college. It really is difficult.
Oh yeah,
people run around. Now nobody wears 34,
right?
But 47. So maybe there's a hallowed thing. Maybe if it's a Heisman, hell, I don't know. But David Green,
nobody should wear 13 again
or 14. The very next,
right? 13 should not be worn. How dare anybody try to wear that 13 again? That's Stets. That ish goes up. Leave it alone. Back-to-back champions? How many back-to-back national champions does Georgia have? Okay.
Well,
no, they won.
I'm sorry.
Put some respect on that man's name. Speaking of respect, you can respect Steve West. He's going to be out and about tomorrow 11 to 1 as he's broadcasting live from Lake Point Sports.
He's Mark O'Brien, president and officer of Mizuno USA. It's good to see you, Mark.
I'm Earl Earhart. I'm the CEO of Lake Point.
What?
God, that never makes me feel less uncomfortable.
Mark's the big guy with Mizuno.
When does that get less uncomfortable for me?
I'm going to hang up and listen right now.
He was right in front of me. I was given a name. It was a bad job. I'm not good at it.
I want to talk to you about Lake Point.
Yeah, let's talk about Lake Point.
I felt like I was 2 feet tall, but I'm glad Hoyt keeps it around. That makes me feel good. Anywho, I was Steve West is going to be at Lake Point Sports coming up tomorrow for the 2023 March of Champions. He'll be broadcasting live at the Champions Center for the Rise Hoops Tip-Off Classic, showcasing Georgia's elite high school age basketball players. All the info is available at Rise Hoops Tip-Off Classic. And at Lake Point Sports, you can go to lakepointsports.com.
Now, let's talk about Lake Point.
Don't compromise, you shouldn't settle for less, because happiness just makes sense. Duffy Realty, DuffyRealtyATL.com.
Chuck Oliver's College Football Today, brought to you by Duffy Realty of Atlanta. Because money matters.
Good to be the king.
Duffy Realty. DuffyRealtyATL.com. You got a house that's going on the market. Get it on right now. Get it on with Rhonda Duffy, DuffyRealtyATL.com. Best in the business at getting someone. The bottom line is somebody else needs to own the house. That should cost you more. I don't know. Somehow Rhonda gives you the best chance of somebody owning the house, and then she charges you way, way, way less. Again, my hands are up. They asked me how to do it. I'm like, I don't know, but she does it. DuffyRealtyATL.com. Matthew, I said that a temporarily unemployed coach. He does have a legit question for anybody who will listen. This starts with Bobby Petrino. And I've said, we know what he is. He can unhinge his jaw. He can swallow a bird egg or a spaniel or something and then eat again in a week. He's just a horrible, awful person. I've said for a long time, probably 20-plus years, he's one of the probably top three, top five offensive minds. The combination of plays where he sees stuff, the vision, man. He is so good. He's an awful person. He is so good calling plays. And he's done it at the NFL level for what's that's worth. He's with Jacksonville as well. He's done it in college. He's had a lot of success. And there is no disputing he is at the absolute top of his game. There is question, as we talked about earlier this week. Did you hear the cut? Jimbo Fisher was asked, is Bobby Petrino really going to call plays? And he was like, well, we'll get to, we'll cover some.
He almost answered like they hadn't talked about it.
Yes, hadn't been addressed. He's like, oh, damn, spring practice starts today. Well, that'll be addressed. We'll cross that bridge. Bobby Petrino couldn't have a better resume as a play caller, and there is discussion about whether he will actually get the responsibility. All right, Daryl Dickey, who's now hired in Athens, who was listed as the offensive coordinator in College Station, he's looking around going, excuse me, I have a question. If a guy with Bobby Petrino's resume, all of y'all are scouring Jimbo to say, hey, are you really going to let Bobby be involved? What the hell do you think I was doing? He's like, what did I do to get fired? I was the OC on Jimbo's staff. It's like, there was no, I didn't call plays. I didn't set the game plan. It's because Jimbo said, I'm the head coach. Who wants to be OC? He's like, all right, I'll do it. Daryl Dickey, he's a hell of a coach. He got crapped on and he stinks. And what kind of job is he doing? He wasn't doing the job. He was the quarterback's coach. And I can tell you this, and this is just not an opinion. This is a fact. Nobody touches the quarterbacks on the Jimbo staff other than Jimbo. He's in charge of all of that. So last year, Daryl was like, screw it. I want to coach tight ends. They're like, all right, they'll let Damian Craig coach quarterbacks. Really? So snap it to Damian. Damian's going to run around and make some stuff happen. Damian's a fine coach. Damian's there to recruit. Jimbo's like, no, I got the quarterbacks. So all of that has changed, and Daryl Dickey's looking around going, did anybody catch on the fact that I was the one who got fired and there was no chance I had responsibility? Well, he's in Athens now, making like $70,000. He doesn't want any more money because it's offset against Texas A&M. He's like, let those guys pay. Georgia has a really nice hire. Brandon Streeter got all the attention because he was at Clemson and the giddy-up and the history there with Dabo and everything else, and that's fine. It's an asset. Daryl Dickey's a lot more of an asset than he's been talked about the last 24 hours.
Chuck Oliver's College Football Today, brought to you by Duffy Realty of Atlanta on the College Football Voice of the South, 680 The Fan.
Earlier today, the NFL confirmed that there is a proposal to flex Thursday night games, which everybody had wondered about for a while. It's once again the NFL reminding you all that they don't care anything about your schedule or putting you out. Now, they'll tell you, we're going to do it a week in advance. But like changing somebody who's got a ticket for a Sunday game and telling them it's a Thursday night, that is not the easiest thing. And I guarantee you ain't getting a refund when that happens. They'll also tell you they care about health and safety of the players, but they don't. All they care about is we had a 4-5 team against a 3-6 team. We need to get that out of primetime on Thursday night. We need to move that, so we'll put a better game in. We'll see if the union's going to sign off on it, but it just continues to be the NFL. If there is one more dollar they can make or one more eyeball they can get on their game and they win, they get it.
You will adjust, us.
No, and if you don't, they don't care.
Yeah, no.
They don't care. You already bought the ticket. We'd like you in the stadium, but we don't care once you bought the ticket what you're going to do with it. All right, coming up next. Usually Chuck is the pooper around here.
That's me. Oh.
But I will. he confirmed it. Oh. But I will play that role today because I think Braves fans need a dose of reality.
No. Be the hooker again. Let me be the man this time.
We will role play next. Happy Friday. It's Chuck and Chernoff on the radio.
Hey, I'm here to do sports.
And I am too. What is our slogan? What is the Chuck slogan that he tries to pitch you, the listeners, to come listen to the show?
We don't know.
I believe it was your sports conversation happens
why?
Here.
Why? I wasn't supposed to be.
Running point?
I forgot you weren't here.
Or on the radio?
I forgot you were in Florida.
I know. It happens.
About 4:30, and I was like,
what's Matt? Where's Matt?
Why isn't that dude talking yet, loser?
I'm sorry. He's on Guardians of the Galaxy. He's supposed to be here.
Matt's not here.
That's my favorite thing in the history of the radio station is Hoyt yelling at Chuck to talk.
That's you. Running point.
You hear the disdain in his voice?
I wasn't running point.
What?
Running point.
Oh, Dylan had been running point, but then apparently. Oh,
I love it.
We're going straight to Good Day coming up after this.
It's always good when you ask questions about what we're doing.
What are we doing here? Responsibility was a ping pong that day.
I guess so. I got a text from Hoyt that day that just read, I hate you. That's all it said. Nothing
else. Leave me out of this.
No context. We're with you till 6, and then it's Braves baseball, Braves and the Sox. On the Fan from Foyt Myers tonight on the Fan and the Fan mobile app. Speaking of the app, stay connected. All your latest news, baseball, your favorite fan shows on the Fan app, driven by Beaver Direct. Beaver Direct, the fastest and easiest way to shop online for your next vehicle. Visit BeaverToyotaOfCumming.com to see what wow really means. Download the Fan app now in the iTunes and Google Play Store. Coming up in 5 minutes, it was a month past due.
Well, it could be that time of the month.
But finally, the man seems to be listening. We'll find out who the man is coming up. I hope you guys enjoyed the Alex Anthopoulos interview. The GM of the Braves was on earlier in the week with Nick and Chris, and it was 20 minutes of great stuff.
Oh, just, I don't know that they were going to do that.
Yeah, they did it, and then we promoted it, and we played some of the cuts here on the show.
Good for the front row.
No, it was Nick and Chris. It was the Domino and Cellini program, and there's no front row unless it's the front row's audio fun bag. That's not the point. The point is Alex was on, and the discussion about building a roster came into play, and that's where I really kind of geek out on listening to Alex, his mindset now building this Braves roster as compared to what he did in Toronto. Take a listen to Alex. The conversation skewed to Domino asking Alex about having thoughts about paying Shohei Ohtani if he ever hit the market. What would that look like? Now, then Chris pulled back. He's like, okay, I don't want to get you in trouble for tampering. Hypothetically, a guy like that's available, $500 million. What are you thinking?
We had a lot of guys having really good years. We were under 500. And it wasn't because they weren't pulling their weight and doing what they could, and we didn't have great players on the roster. We did. We just didn't have enough. We had to go get four position players. That should be the best reminder I can give anybody, that you need a deep 26. Stars and scrubs, I don't think it works. And I used to do that early in my career, and it didn't work. And there's only so much pie, and we have to make sure that we divide it up. Even though individual players are great, we have to feel like we have the best team 1-26.
No, I totally botched the setup there. So that was Alex talking about building the 21 championship team, and it was still an association to Ohtani. And his point was, he said, well, think back to that team for a minute, because he's not allowed to talk about Ohtani, but he made it very clear, like every team builder, everybody wants Ohtani. Everybody would love him. But Alex's point on that type of contract is, I want the player, I don't want the price. Because if you're a team like the Braves, even though you can spend a ton of money, that would be 25-30% of your roster going to one player. What Alex pointed out there about the 21 Braves, they were having a bunch of guys who were having good seasons. But remember, that was the year they could not get over 500. And I think they were battling that until the end of July. It took the Braves going out and getting not one, not two, not three. They got four new outfielders because they had to fill the production lost by Ronald Acuna. And I agree with Alex's thought on this. And he referenced Chuck, his time in Toronto. He's like, I don't believe in the stars and scrubs way to build a roster. He said, I did that in Toronto and it didn't work. And it's not something you can sustain. I think the Braves would love to have Shohei Ohtani. But their choice that they've made, and this is a risk, to pay guys early so we can keep some cost control and sustainability that they can compete. I think that model is a lot better, in my opinion, because baseball is not about one player. It never has been. I think the way the Braves do it, I bet the Braves have seven players in the top 75 in baseball. If you started ranking the top 75 or 100 players, I think that's the better way to build a sustainable championship-caliber team, and they've done that, in my opinion.
You know, the thought is the Dodgers, this is like a recoil season for them, maybe, financially. Like, maybe, they want to compete.
A little bit.
They want to compete.
But I mean, a little bit. It's all relative, yes. They're not spending what they were.
This season.
Right.
Runner Ohtani, as discussed. So that's a different level. Like if you have, can I give you, for instance, just a maybe that a year from now, the Dodgers are about to start the 2024 season. Mm-hmm. They have, I'm going to say what's possible, Matt, they could have 50, 80, $122 million in Mookie, Freddie, Shohei.
Could be, sure. There's no doubt. Now go through the roster.
$122 million for three guys.
Go through roster spots 15 through 26.
Okay, see, that's where it's just it is a nosedive talent-wise. And this year is kind of stark for them. And by the way, hope is not a strategy. Hashtag New York Knicks, LeBron James. They basically cratered their roster for 2 years, hoping to get LeBron, whatever. So that's what there are teams that are going to line up for that and say, Seattle wants to do it. Seattle's got money.
I don't blame them. See, but here's Seattle's a good
Seattle's
fit.
Got Julio Rodriguez, who's like, how much control? Oh, another 5.5 years of control for Julio Rodriguez? Hell yeah, let's pair him up.
But you bring up Seattle, and I'm going to bring up a couple of other teams. If I'm Shohei, I want to go somewhere where I have a chance to win, because right now you could make a great argument. Anaheim's got the two best players in baseball. You could make that argument. But if it was about the two best players, they'd be in the playoffs every year. They can't get over 500 most years.
It's
not Shohei's fault, and it's not Trout's fault. What happens is their roster falls off a cliff once you get past about number 8. And I don't mean in the lineup. I mean on the roster. What the Braves can give you and the decision they've made is we love having the ability to have Acuna and Riley and Harris and Strider and Max and Olsen, and it goes on and on. I think the Braves have the deepest roster in the National League. Now, in the playoffs, that doesn't guarantee you anything because it's such a crapshoot. But to get to the postseason year after year, what the Braves have built gives them the best opportunity because you can sustain an injury and survive it. you can sustain a second injury and survive it. You have a Stars and Scrubs roster, as Alex described. You lose one of your stars, there is no plan B. You don't have the depth of your roster. And this goes to the folks like our buddy Dylan was telling me how the Jacob DeGrom thing was going to be in play last year. I was like, you're not paying attention.
Look at the Rangers right now. They have,
yeah. They're Stars and Scrubs roster, but the Braves, they're not about that life of paying Jacob DeGrom that money. They're not about paying Shohei that money. And again, it's not because Shohei's not great. That would be 35% of their payroll, and you would have to sacrifice a bunch of guys on the other side of it and not be as deep and as good. It's not anything against the type of player Shohei or DeGrom is.
I tell you, there is one upside that only Shohei, and who is it? Michael Lorenzen? Is he that? He's the outfielder and the pitcher.
The Reds pitcher.
Yes, they got it. There's a couple of guys who are like trying it now because they, hey, wait a minute, Shohei's about to get crazy, broke off, so maybe I'm going to try some of this too. But Shohei, this is not the equivalent. It's not the same. It literally is. You are purchasing an extra roster spot.
Correct. But it's, let's say it's $50 million a year. That's still two $25 million players.
Okay, but you get an extra player nobody else gets, and that's valuable.
No doubt about it. There's no question. But again, there's only about four teams who can do it. When we get to the show, when we get to the offseason, if it happens during the season,
Braves aren't one of this.
No, it's you know the four teams. The four teams: the Yankees, the Mets, the Dodgers. I'll throw in the Phillies.
Aren't the Giants supposed to have that kind of money?
I said that, too, and I was talking to Hoyt about it.
They've crazy spent before.
If you're Ohtani, why would you go to the Giants? Aren't you walking right back into what you just walked into with Anaheim?
Yeah.
Top end, couple of good players and not enough.
Hey, do we know what he wants, though? Does he want to be a champion?
I don't know. I looked at him the other night.
Not everybody's kind of dialed together the same way.
Maybe. I watched him at the WBC, lost his mind how excited he was. I think everybody wants to have both. He's going to have all the money. There comes a point where I can make 50 or 45 a year. Do I have a chance to go win a couple of championships and whatever legacy matters or any? I think that always mattered. It's got to suck playing meaningless baseball games year after year in September. That's an awful existence. Shohei Ohtani playing big games for the Dodgers, the Mets, the Yankees, or somebody and playing in the postseason every year, that's a hell of an existence when you've done it. And I would think that would be part of his game plan. We'll see, though. But I butchered the intro to the Alex stuff, but it was, I thought, a very good description of the 21 Braves to compare it.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Coming up in 5 minutes, forget D-Hop. Focus on J-High. That would be my advice to the Atlanta Falcons.
That didn't sound natural.
Forget D-Hop. Focus on J-High. I'll explain coming up. But first, it's a month past due, but Chuck says the man might finally be listening.
The man seems to be listening, not the child or the kid or the prospect or whatever. Stetson Bennett. He made headlines, and I'm going to say in a rough way, Matt, the month following the national championship game, you can Google your computer. If you put the parameters on that, 30 days past the national championship game, and Stetson Bennett headlines, you'll get rude to fans at the parade, got in a spat on social media with a radio host, blew off the Senior Bowl, hit behind a dumpster trying to escape police while, I don't know, shotgunning Coors Light or whatever he was doing. And do you remember how this literally started, Matt? On the field, confetti falling. What was his comment? I'm off the clock regarding, like, I have no more responsibilities, Jordan. He said that with his jersey on. I am off the clock now. I have no more UGA responsibilities. I was like, damn, son. You know, whistle while you work a little bit. Well, I'm not working anymore. And he was clear about that. That was the first month after the national championship game. He spent about 30 days running through some of the house money. if you will Google your computer and say just the past 4 or 5 weeks, do you know what the Stetson headlines are? I did today, Matt. Quote, this is USA Today. 3 NFL destinations for Stetson Bennett. The next one, Kuiper says Bennett, quote, early day 3 range. Stetson Bennett, Washington Commander priority.
Oh, how about that?
You can go. Point is, I pick like the first 3. They're all positive. For the month after, it was all blowing off the media, blowing off the fans, getting into a fight with Steve Shapiro.
What? What's that?
Senior Bowl saying Stetson open arms and him going Heisman. Hit behind what was it, a wall or a dumpster?
It was
or
a wall.
Barrel?
It was a small brick wall.
A fence, whatever. Okay.
It was a wall.
Oh. It was a bad look, is what it was.
But you couldn't see him behind the wall.
Now, I said he's been listening. His mom, his dad, his best friend, girlfriend, agent, his coach, somebody, they've all been saying that to him. He didn't want to hear it. He's 25. He was a grown man. He wasn't some 20 or 21-year-old who was having to go to media training. He should have. But it appears that because they were already, you know, saying it's finally he listened. And so for the past month, and heard a peep out of Stetson. Somebody said, you need to play the game. Mm-hmm. Because he did. He had more house money. He went from no stars to 2 natties and all the MVPs and all the situations. And he started spending house money. In the past month, he finally has listened. So good for him. I hope that he is a priority for somebody, and I hope he has destinations in the NFL and all that, because it is an unbelievable story. Because that kid, he's the bumblebee. What is it? He can't do it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work at his dimensions. It doesn't work, and it did.
I'm going to be fascinated to see who takes him, because I'm sort of buying into the Kuiper and a few of the others who've said 4th or 5th round, and that makes some sense. In my mind, I had like mapped out 2 or 3 teams that I thought he would fit. Now I don't know. Like you said, Washington's going to make him a priority. So I guess Sam Howell is penciled in as their starter, and that's in pencil because somebody could take that job from him. That could be a Stetson. I brought up Kansas City. I know that seems weird. When you're a team who's paid your quarterback a ton of money, you got to kind of, you know, save some money in the margins. That's where you will take the chance of, let's have a cheap backup. Let's roll the dice. Now, I typically would not want a rookie quarterback on a Super Bowl team for the fear they might have to play. Stetson might be a little different. He's going to be 26 when he steps on the NFL field if he had to play. You know he's going to be able to figure out the playbook.
Yeah, that's the easiest, man.
No, but if you're Andy Reid, for instance, you're going to want that.
Yeah,
you're
not going to
want you're not going to want the 22-year-old Hendon Hooker. Well, actually, Hendon's 25, too.
But see,
you're not going to want some rookie quarterback, though, who's not going to know his way around. That's why I think there are a few spots that just kind of jump off the page.
This is the difference between knowledge and maturity. He's got knowledge. He has intelligence. He has experience. He hadn't shown enough maturity.
I would agree, but
that ain't me saying it. That's NFL GM going, what are you doing, young man? And he admitted it because of how he's acted the last month.
I think he also has an edge to him that sometimes he loses perspective of the edge. I think the edge gets too much involved. I think he has created the world versus me thing.
Screw it. We got 2 rings.
Right. So much in his mind. And I get it. It manifested from a real place. He had to hear for 2 years how he couldn't play. He had to hear for 2 years how he couldn't hold the job. He had to hear for 2 years how the numbers were inflated. He had to hear for 2 years that he wasn't a real Heisman candidate. And, but it wasn't everybody saying that, but he's told them everybody's saying that. So that now that edge gets carried away.
I promise you, you know something? I promise you Stetson Bennett has heard multiple times in his life by like big MFers. Quote, "When's the last time you got your ass kicked?" Like, I promise you he has been asked that. Because he doesn't back down. He doesn't change his attitude. He is so audacious about it. Mm-hmm. He actually thought he was going to play at Georgia. It's absurd.
What a crazy thought.
Oh, okay. Hardware. Yeah. Like the real hardware that really counts. All of it. Yeah. So that's his edge, man.
Do you recall about a week or two ago, I said one of the things, and it wasn't some digging deep approach to figure out what the Falcons were going to do offensively if indeed Desmond Ridder was the quarterback. You've got to overload him with stuff, like as many weapons as possible. But if you could pick the weapons, you'd pick big weapons. And they did that already in the offseason when they added Jonnu Smith. They did that when they signed Mac Hollins. Now, neither guy is a superstar player, but they fit the profile. The Falcons still want to have the core DNA that we can run it whenever we have to. But when we throw it, we'd like you to be 6'2", 6'3", with a big catch radius, go get the ball. And they've done that now, right? Pitts is 6'6". He's the number one catch option. Forget positions for a second. Call him tight ends. Call him receivers. Kyle's the number one option, 6'6", 245. Drake's the number two option. He's 6'4", 215.
Higgins.
Whatever order you want to do this one in, Cordarrelle Patterson, 6'2", 220. Jonnu Smith, 6'3", 245. And Mac Hollins, 6'4", 220. Now there are the D-Hop rumors. D-Hop is, I think, 6'2", 6'1", depending on what you want to look at him as.
Nuke.
I would rather go a different direction, only because I just don't think...
What are you on, burner? Octane?
So I don't know that Hopkins fits your timeline. I understand why they would do it. It would fit what I just said. We want to give him a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
The Eagles did it for Jalen. The Niners did it for all their quarterbacks. Like, if you have money and a cheap quarterback, we're going to give you some toys that we wouldn't otherwise be able to afford.
Best offensive line in the game.
But instead of doing D-Hop, do J-High. Second round pick, if he's there, Jalen Hyatt's just plug and play. That's easy. He's not as big as the other guys. He's 6 feet tall. He's 190 pounds.
Fantastic.
But he can take the top off the defense. And that's not to neglect Kyle Pitts' speed. Kyle, remember, ran a 4-4. But to have a guy that's his, like, Kyle's going to have bracketed coverage a lot. 6'6", 245 is going to get that. What does that mean for everybody else? Somebody's going to be manned up. And if you have Jalen Hyatt, who can work a double move and just take the top off.
He's long, too.
That would be the thing. And again, he's cheap in the second round, and he's on your timeline, and he's here for 4 years, not 1 or 2 years like D-Hop. Give Jalen another weapon. Just overload him. Give Desmond another weapon. Just keep giving him stuff. He's got a running back in Tyler Algier. Give him another one. He's got a weapon that he has in Drake London. Give him another one.
This
he's
is unbelievable. You know what you're putting together? You're putting together like a hell of an 80s or early 90s NFL roster.
Good.
Wide receivers everywhere. Let's load it up.
Why you should? When you have the cheap quarterback, that's the cheat code. If you're going to do the Desmond thing, and I'm still way on the fence on whether or not it's going to work, but to make it work better, give him stuff everywhere. It's what these teams have done. If you think Desmond's your guy, if you want to go pay D-Hop for 2 years, not my favorite, but go do it, or spend a second-round pick is huge currency.
Yes, it is. This is the phrase, lean into it. It's like, you know what, whether it was the right, wrong, somewhere in the middle decisions, each of the past two first rounds, lean into it, man. Go ahead and say, F it, let's have an elite crew.
Picture the fourth quarter. You're down 27-24, and you take over the ball at the 32, and when you line up, you've got Pitts and London and Hyatt and Jonnu Smith's on the line, and Tyler Algier's in the backfield, and you're like, oh, Cordarrelle's coming in the slot, and I just have all these options, and they're big, and they're fast, and this is going to help my young quarterback acclimate.
Can I throw something out there?
Throw.
For Cordarrelle, this is true. I hate it, but it's true.
Oh, negative.
No. The gate does not ease down when you're like 32 or 30. Whenever you're a wide receiver or a running back in the NFL, the gate slams down.
It does.
Like, it's over.
When it ends, like, it ends.
So there's going to be... We're counting on another season of CP, you know, being a real big contributor, not like he was in 21.
What if he's your fourth or fifth best option?
Sure,
like,
sure.
How fun is that?
Yeah.
Where you can just drop fun stuff to do with him?
And he can return one of the three kicks that goes for touchdowns in the NFL.
Okay, I'm fine with all of it. I just think in the second round, I have no problem dedicating that value of a pick to a stud wide receiver, which will rub people the wrong way in some cases. Well, you just took London last year and you took Pitts, and now you're saying...
I'm starting to cotton up to Skronsky at 8.
I have no problem with that either.
I want Desmond to succeed.
Sure.
That's what I want.
And for the next 3 years, you could do it cheap.
Give me a tackle, a guard. That's pretty good for pass pro.
And then eventually when he gets expensive, and I'm talking Ritter, if he's good, well, Jake Matthews is now funneled out. And if I want to move Skronsky outside, you have those plans in place. It would make a ton of sense.
They're going to take a corner. They're going to take Gonzalez out of Oregon.
I don't have a problem with that either. You have that need
too.
They need one.
He doesn't sack the quarterback.
Not typically, it wouldn't happen. But if I told you might have the best young duo of corners in the league, that's something.
Yeah.
And you have Jesse Bates. You're right. I'd rather them get. I keep seeing Lowe's on Twitter. He is not buying the Tyree Wilson stuff. Like, he is.
What's he know about the draft? He's a political guy. Stay in your lane. Clip that. Send that over. Like, had that waiting on him Monday morning.
8 o'clock. Chuck Oliver attacks.
Yeah, well,
Lowe's.
You voted for Trump.
Very good, Charles. Thank you. Doc McChuckins is not a political guy. He's a football guy, and he's breaking down the NFL draft. The Doc scrubs in coming up next. What can we look forward to?
Had fingers and toes crossed a long time for one local kid, and his draft prospects are improving.
Who is it? Find out next.
Thank God it's Friday.
Thanks for making Chuck and Chernoff part of your afternoon on the FAN We're on FM and it's killing it today. The sun is out. It's like 75 degrees. Our signal appreciates it. AM is there too. And the 680 The Fan mobile app is always booming. So make sure you have that B downloaded. Listen anytime, anywhere. Chuck, the 680 The Fan in New York, Johnny's New York Style Pizza is bringing you the 2023 Ultimate Baseball Guide. It's back again. We've all contributed to this wonderful publication. It's free. And the digital download will have you ready for baseball season. You can catch up.
Doesn't that, like, stay in the cloud or something and then people can look at it?
In the cloud. That's, yes. You can read behind-the-scenes articles of what's new and what to expect from the team as they take the field for the new season. To get your free Ultimate Baseball Guide, stop by any of your area Johnny's New York Style Pizza locations, ask for the code, or simply scan the QR code on top of all the Johnny's Pizza boxes. Then enjoy some great pizza and get ready for baseball. Compliments of the Fan and Johnny's New York Style Pizza.
Dr. McChuckins. Time for your checkup. Time for your checkup. I'm gonna check your ears, check your eyes, find out how much you've grown. Time for your checkup. I said local kid, fingers and toes crossed, and I think his draft prospects are improving, and he was going to be in the league at all points. But Charlie Thomas, get out of Thomasville. Here's what I know about Charlie Thomas. Tell me when I get to something about athleticism. He's tough. He's smart. He's a leader. Matt, I don't even know what this is, but I believe in it. It's a non-specific as football term, but he's always around the ball,
right?
Like, he's one of those guys like Honey Badger. But he was always around the ball.
Mm-hmm. I got a nose for the football.
Was it Tony Gilbert? Was he a Georgia linebacker? And I was like, damn, he's around the ball again. Whoever it was, 45 maybe, trying to remember who. There's guys that you look at him and for some reason it's like, damn, he's got the ball again. That's Charlie Thomas. Here's what he's not. He's not really a linebacker at the NFL level, and he's not a safety. But he might be a safety. He's not big enough. He's not just flat out strong enough. And he's fast enough. He's not quick enough. So there's a lot against him. But when I say, well, damn, Chuck, you said his draft prospects are improving. The more you get to know Charlie Thomas, if you're a GM for the Falcons, Lions, Cardinals, Eagles, Jags, Bucks, Steelers, the more you start to really like him and you start to think, we can do something with him. Have you ever heard, Matt, like, I've had a friend, hey, I got hired by, you know, whatever. I was like, what's the job? He's like, they're going to find something. Like, we just want this guy on board. We're going to find something. I was like, that's Charlie Thomas to
player.
Me. Is somebody you look at him is like, there's something here, whether, and it's more than covering kicks. He is one tough, 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 tough dude. I'm not even going to mention this name. I'm going to say it, man. Jesse Tuggle wasn't drafted at Ohio State.
What did you just say?
Jesse Tuggle wasn't big enough or fast enough.
Or tall enough or any of it.
Anything, but he was an ass buster. And he did it for years and years and years and years and years. And he started with special teams, and then he turned into Ring of Honor guy. So I'm not saying that. I'm saying Charlie Thomas could do something on Sundays.
Did you see, and maybe you didn't, former NFL player Derek Wolfe? Remember him of the Broncos?
Yeah, the defensive end.
Yes. He revealed that he would be microdosed before games with mushrooms and take Adderall before kickoff.
Wait a minute, what would that do? Would that counteract one another?
I don't know. I've never done shrooms, and I haven't done the Adderall. It's supposed to give you focus.
I thought it made you go to sleep.
No. Adderall, no.
Ambien
makes you sleepy.
Mm.
Boy, that'd be a big mistake if you confuse those two.
Like,
I've been up for 6 days.
Okay, so Adderall, you're wired, so and the mushrooms chill you out?
No, I think the mushrooms are supposed to.
No, so this is going to make you focus on your trip even more.
The Adderall and the mushrooms together.
Yeah.
Okay, so that would happen. Microdosed. He also shared that he played in an NFL game 2 weeks after being paralyzed for 3 hours. Said, I couldn't move, but team doctor said you're good.
That can't be, like, recommended.
He was on Joe Rogan's podcast.
I don't think, like, the AMA does not stand behind this.
Well, here's the picture of him laying on the field. And, I mean, like, this is never, ever going to shock us that the NFL, like it says, they tell you what they care about, and then they never act like it.
Oh, no, they would suspend you for weed, but give you, I don't know, I'm kidding, folks, bags of, like, the hard stuff. The narcotics, the vials, whatever.
All you had to watch.
Don't smoke weed.
When what happened to Hamlin in the Buffalo game, and the refs told ESPN, give him 5 minutes. You remember they were going to...
Oh, yeah, it was like
5 minutes to warm up.
When you lose your golf ball, it's the five-minute rule.
Right, they said, we're going to give him 5 minutes to warm up.
It's like there was a Titleist, too, you were looking for, except he was having a heart attack.
I'm watching that game going, did they just say 5 minutes? This guy might be dead. Yeah, 5 minutes warm up, you guys will be good. And Joe Buck's like, I think we're going to start again.
Did you ever play in a jamboree? Do you know what a jamboree is?
Sure.
Like eighth grade football. It's a football game where you have three teams.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a kid break his leg. We're at Norcross playing in a jamboree. Get him off the field. The clock does not stop in a jamboree. We got a schedule to keep.
I guess that's the case for the NFL. But cooler heads prevailed when they were like, oh, he's not breathing? Okay, we'll stop.
Yeah, they're cracking the breastplate now. No.
Daniel, do you have something?
Apparently, shrooms are becoming very popular amongst NFL players.
Is that, should we say alleged?
Oh, allegedly. No, allegedly.
You know what my mind immediately goes to? Doesn't show up on a drug screen.
Is that true?
I don't know if it's becoming popular.
Aaron Rodgers had talked about this when he was on with Rogan.
Doing his darkness retreat.
And said that there's been a lot of curious questions to him.
Interesting. All right. Thank you, Daniel. Coming up next, Matt Lanna and Pac-Man. Now have something in common.
He's divorced.
Pac-Man? I didn't know he was married. Oh, Miss Pac-Man. I thought they were just brother and sister. I've been wrong this whole time.
Oh, they were he and the she.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, they had babies.
He putting points
remember
up?
Remember the start? Dropped off the little...
Little packs.
Yeah.
How about that? I screwed that one up, huh? Plus, the Braves fight for five.
You don't have to play this the whole time.
Well, he's not going to stop. It's going to be officially over tonight. We'll talk about it next.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.